Once again, we make our way to Psalm 23 as we walk through this beautiful Psalm of David. Psalm 23, verse 1 through the first half of verse 4. Hear the infallible and errant, inspired word of the living God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I'll save the last part of that till next week. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. I think everyone in the room, most of us, know the song, the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." We're going to sing it at the close of service today. We sing it often in a couple of different variations. Some of us may also know the story of Horatio Spafford, the writer of this great hymn. But it deserves telling again, because with this hymn comes one of the most heartbreaking stories behind the writing of a hymn. Horatio Spafford died in 1988. He was from Chicago. He had established a very successful legal practice as a young businessman and was a very devout Christian and was an elder in the Presbyterian Church in Chicago. However, Spafford's fortune evaporated in the wake of the Great Fire in Chicago of 1871. Having invested heavily in real estate along Lake Michigan, he lost everything overnight. Also, in a story reminiscent of Job, his son died just a short time before, his only son, died just a short time before that financial disaster and the fire. But the worst for the Spafford family was yet to come. Desiring a rest for his wife and his four daughters, Spafford planned a European trip for his family in 1873. Due to some unexpected last-minute business development, he had to remain in Chicago. However, sent his wife and four daughters on to Europe ahead of him, and he expected to follow just in a few days. On November 22nd, 1873, the ship the wife and four daughters was on was struck in the Atlantic by the Lochearn, an English vessel, and the SS Ville du Havre sank in 12 minutes. Several days later, the survivors finally landed in Cardiff, Wales, and Mrs. Spafford cabled her husband these words: "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Spafford left Chicago immediately to join his wife, and with the ship he was on, about 4 days out from Cardiff, Wales, the captain called Spafford to his cabin and told him that they were over the exact spot where his daughters went down. It is said that at this point he wrote the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Another daughter, Bertha, was born to the Spafford family in 1878, as well as a son, which he named after himself, Horatio. However, this son died later of scarlet fever. The Spafford and his wife Anne walked in the valley of the shadow of death, losing six children. Everyone in this room has walked in the shadow of the valley of death, losing a spouse, a parent, a grandparent, a sibling, child. We humans are not immune to death. Adam and Eve saw to that in their sin. King David was not immune to death either. He lost many sons. Most of them that he lost were not even mentioned in holy text. But we go through the history records and find that he lost somewhere upwards probably of eight children. But yet he writes in this psalm that I just read to you, he writes boldly, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. To fully grasp the depth of this statement, I believe it's best to look at it in two ways. First, we should look at this statement as a representation or as a metaphor of those dark times, those troubling times of our life. Secondly, we should look at this statement in a very literal fashion, in a very literal way, walking in the shadow of death, facing death personally, or facing the death of those dear to us. First of all, let's look at this statement as a representation or as a metaphor. Each summer in Palestine, the young David would have taken his father's sheep up into the hill country around Palestine to get away from the heat and the blistering winds coming in from the desert. Green pastures did not survive well in that kind of summer heat. So up into the mountains David would go, and he would travel through the valleys and through the ravines, making his way up into the foothills, up into the mountains, searching for water and searching for green grass for his father's sheep. Along the way, there would be steep cliffs and ravines, causing deep shadows to fall across the path where he was trying to lead his sheep, to the point it was almost dark. You know how it is when you come out of the sunshine into the shadows, it's dark for a second until your eyes adjust. Sheep do not like those dark shadows. They are timid and afraid of what they cannot see in those shadows, and they are reluctant to move into those dark areas. To understand this phrase a little bit more, to consider this statement, Valley of the Shadow of Death, we need to look at it as it is written in the Hebrew language, and it could be easily translated this way. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. Or this way, even though I walk through the darkest shadows. In the original Hebrew, death is there, of course, but it's given more of a valley of shadows, dark shadows. These sheep, as I've said, are afraid of the dark places. But when the shepherd is present with them, leading them through these dark places, they follow the shepherd and they follow his voice into that darkness, trusting the shepherd as he leads the sheep through those dark shadows caused by those deep ravines. In context here in Psalm 23, remember, David sees himself as a sheep. And he remembers that the sheep do not like dark shadows. David has walked through the dark valleys, the dark shadows of his life. Remember, he's lost several children. Saul pursued him constantly until Saul was killed. His son turned against him. There were wars, etc. He is a man who had much, much blood on his hands. And so he walked in those dark shadows. You have walked in the dark shadows of life. David faced plenty of trials and challenges, just as we do. Temptations, health issues, stress over life, stress over the illness of loved ones, money, worries about loved ones, betrayal, loss. The list goes on. We have walked, you have walked through, like David, dark shadows. Yet David acknowledged that the Lord, his divine shepherd, was with him through it all. Therefore, he could be brave and have courage as he faced that next challenge, that next dark shadow. He could be brave and take courage facing the difficulties, the afflictions, the challenges. We too can have courage as we walk through the issues, the dark shadows of our lives, for the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd is always, always there. Just as David would lead his sheep through those shadowy places, our Lord does not let you walk through those dark places alone. The closing words of the Great Commission notes Jesus as saying, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The Good Shepherd is with us. So do not lose hope. Jesus Christ is with us and will accompany us through those dark shadows of life. And I mentioned two ways we should look at this. First of all, as a metaphor, those dark shadows of life. But now let's look at it more literally. More literally. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. As I said in the beginning, we have walked through the shadow of death. We have all lost loved ones of some capacity. Grandparents, children, wives, husbands, brothers, etc. We've all walked in those places of death. However, for the Christians, there never should be a fear of death. With the completed work of Jesus Christ, who through his crucifixion and resurrection defeated forever death, hell, and the grave. And so for the Christian, death is nothing but a shadow. For the Christian, death is nothing but a shadow. Death has no real power over a Christian. There is not a full consumption of the Christian in that grave. Please note the phrase, even though I walk through in Hebrew, this is a verb phrase, it notes a continuous moving action. I walk through. I pass through. I am not contained. I'm not consumed. The Christian walks through the death as if it were a shadow. Not into death, not consumed by death. The Christian simply travels through that fact of life of death to what awaits the Christian on the other side. I hope you're using your Lent devotion, because the author spoke to this in yesterday's devotion. He wrote this: for those who live and believe in Jesus, death is not a dead end, but rather the gateway to a new and glorious realm, where the good shepherd himself will, as we read in Revelation chapter 7, guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye. Yes, there's pain of losing a loved one. Even in our own passing, there is that aspect of darkness in our own passing. But we are not to fear the shadow of death, because death has no power over the Christian. It is simply a shadow. A story of Donald Gray Barnhouse, one of America's leading Bible teachers in the first half of the 20th century, lost his first wife to cancer, leaving him to father three children under 12 on his own. The day of the funeral, the Barnhouse family, they were driving to the service when a large truck passed them, casting a noticeable shadow across the car where he and the children were in. Turning to his oldest daughter, who was staring sadly out the window, Barnhouse asked her. He said, "Tell me, sweetheart, would you rather be run over by that truck or its shadow?" Looking curiously and somewhat confusingly at her father, she replied, "By the shadow, I guess. It can't hurt you." Speaking to all his children, he said, "Your mother has not been overridden by death, but by the shadow of death. That is nothing to fear." The Christian has nothing to fear in death. With the completed work of Jesus Christ, death has been defeated. Death is but a shadow. A shadow cannot constrain you. You simply walk through its existence. Yes, the dark times of our lives and losing loved ones are challenging. The result of these times, whether small or large, is that fear could consume you. It is possible, it is entirely possible, through the loss of someone close, someone dear, for us to fall into that depressive state or to be overwhelmed by the grief and the fear, taking us to an unstable state sometimes. We could easily fall prey to the fear surrounding the loss, the grief. surrounding the loss of a loved one. However, we should hear these words that David writes again, I think somewhat emphatically, at the end of that phrase. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. This is the key to the spiritual and mental, emotional victory we desire. I will fear no evil. Missing, longing, a grieving process, absolutely. And everyone in this room grieves differently. Allow everyone to grieve differently. But not in fear. The phrase, I fear no evil, is literally, I will continually not fear evil. Implying an ongoing, again, an ongoing continuous action. I will continually not be in fear. I will not fear the darkness of the shadow, literatively or figuratively. However, we must admit that to come to the place of not allowing fear to rule and control in our lives and emotional lives, it is sometimes not an easy thing. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, He can do that through us. Lead us through those shadows. From Paul's second letter to Timothy, we read, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." Not a spirit of fear. Therefore, if God gave us a spirit not to fear, where does fear come from? Where does fear come from? Well, the answer is simple. It comes from Satan. It's an incredible instrument at his disposal. From the book of John, chapter 8, we read, "Satan is a murderer and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Satan's first words to Eve in the garden was challenging the truth of God himself. He asked Eve, "Did God really say?" Challenging the truth of what God said. And see, that's what Satan does. It's the same with us. Satan will come to us and he will challenge us and say, "Now you know, this is hard. You don't understand. This should grapple you in fear. You're not that mature a Christian. It's okay." He lies to us, causing us to fear and not believe God's holy word. Therefore, we must learn to distinguish between Satan's lies and God's truth. And there's only one way to do that: to be in His Word. To understand, as much as the Spirit will give us, His Word. We read in John 8 once more, "If you abide in my Word and are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth of God's holy word will not allow the bondage of Satan's lies to entrap us in fear. Let us be free from the lies of Satan. Let us be free from the fear of the dark shadows. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And we will walk through the shadows of life here. The challenges, the struggles, those facing death, certainly, in that dark valley. But again, know this: death has no consuming power over the Christian. It is just a shadow that we pass through. And we pass through it with the leading of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, who is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And He will protect, He will comfort, and through the Spirit He will enliven us, embolden us through those challenging times. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this tremendous word given by the Holy Spirit to the King David, and that this word has been preserved by the Holy Spirit down through the ages for us today. It is a strong, powerful word for our lives. Let us live in it. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.